It's been good to be here already, amen. Really enjoyed the music this morning, and sometimes, you know, you get into the music and you get into the worship, and sometimes you just sit there and you just want to listen, and that you can worship through that as well. But there is a process for us as believers. Paul, I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 5. And there's a ministry of reconciliation that Paul is a part of, and he's sharing with the people of Corinth a little bit about that. That there are things that, I would say like this, that although we are here in the flesh, there is something even more that is more powerful, has more influence on you, and that is the Spirit. That is the Spirit. I'm going to read, let me just go ahead and read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 from there. From now on, then, we do not know anyone in a purely human form, human way. Even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. And everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together with him, we also appeal to you, do not receive God's grace in vain, for he says, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Father, as we open up our hearts here to receive the word, Lord, we know that your Spirit was just among us this morning through our prayers, through our impact moments, through our singing, just through our fellowship time already this morning. We thank you. We pray that you'll continue to work through us this morning, that we'd have ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have for us, that we would not leave the same as we came. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to remind you that where you are sitting today is not the place that you wanted to sit before you come to Christ. You had really no idea. You haven't really felt like there was no purpose probably to even attend church or hear a message about God. For when we are lost, we are lost. We are about fleshly things. We're about everything in the world. But there is a process in this peace. And Paul's ministry that God gave him is to reach those who need to be reconciled to God. They needed to come to God. You see, that message, that ministry has been passed on to generation after generation. This is why you are sitting where you are today. This is why you have salvation. Because someone has taken on the ministry that God's called them to share the gospel, to disciple, and to do the other things that God has called men and women to commit to. For once you're saved, you're no longer your own. But just take a look at it here for a minute. He first talks about, even if we knew Christ, even in human form, because there were some that saw him in human form. That is not going to get someone reconciled to God just because this person saw a miracle. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, there came a moment when you were lost that you heard the gospel. Somewhere, someone began to share the gospel with you. And it may have been that someone shared it or several people shared it, but there came a moment where you took a hold of it. And it took a hold of you. And you and God had a moment. And Christ was in the center. And you found yourself needing to be reconciled to God. But you can't do it with God if you don't have Christ. You must have Christ to be reconciled to God. If there is any important business in your life, the most important business and decision is, what are you going to do with your eternal life? And it begins in the fleshly life. What are you going to do with God? Then God would say, then, what are you going to do with my son, Jesus? People want to get to God, but they don't want to go through Christ. They don't want to go through Jesus. But the salvation comes through Christ. So a person comes to a place and they come to that place of being reconciled to God. And they've heard the gospel of Jesus. And they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They may not understand it all. Yet we are all still learning, amen? But they may not understand it all, but they understand this: I need God. So I also, to get to Him, I need Christ. And so there is the beginning of something new upon receiving Christ in your life. And what happens is more than we can really even fathom. The person is moved from lost to now what we use the word saved. What was it? Lost? Lost how? Lost. Does not have a relationship with God. Walking in the world lost. 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 But coming to Christ now, saved. No longer lost, but now found. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from being lost. Saved from damnation. Saved from hell. Saved from the great white judgment. Saved. But God doesn't stop there. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. God just doesn't save a person through. But there's a change in them. No, they're no longer that old creation. But they are a new creation. And God expects us, here we go, to act like it. But how many of us have failed acting like it? But upon that salvation, we come to a place that we begin to understand that now that we need to be baptized. That when we are baptized, we are following Christ's example, that we're baptized. We're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of His death, just as Christ was buried, but was raised. And we're coming out of the water, we're raised in the likeness of His resurrection. We're going to have a resurrection too. And that person comes out, the old self goes down, and the new self comes up. So the old is gone. And we feel really good. We feel empowered by the Holy Spirit that comes inside of us. That gives us a new way of thinking. A new way of making decisions. And as the Holy Spirit does the work of God, which is God's Spirit inside of us, it is to guide us in the direction of God Himself. to put you on a path of His plan for your life, not the plan that you have, but the plan that He has. So everything you do in life, you pick a spouse, you move, you get a job, you go to changing churches, whatever it is, God needs to be involved. He should be involved. He wants to be involved. You should want Him to be involved. Because if you look back and you'll find out that your decision making wasn't so great. But if you involve God in it, now you begin to start learning. And you start learning to be obedient. And as you begin to be obedient, He's going to press some things from time to time. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. We don't do that. You need to do this. And we have that inner battle because we are still in the flesh. We cannot deny. We still have that sinful nature is a little bit in there in our flesh. But there is something more powerful than that, that is inside of us. That is the Holy Spirit. And we begin to learn that, wow, I'm saved. I've been baptized. Now I'm going to take communion. Wow. And that special ordinance there, that special time, you begin to, as you begin to walk in your relationship with God, as you begin to grow, it becomes more of a deeper meaning. And then you begin to become discipled. You try your first Sunday school class. Some of these are really closer to ones than they are to others. Or you begin to come in on a Wednesday night service. You begin to do a Bible study. You begin to grow. That's a discipleship. You begin to become discipled all along. God is still watching. He's still there with you. He's got plans for you. And some of the plans He won't reveal to you because you can't take it right now. You need to go through whatever He wants you to. I don't know the plans for you. I know the biblical plans He has for the church. But specifically for you, there's some in here for all of us. But there's some things that are just for you. You and Him. Him and you. To whatever He's called. And you're going to learn that as you grow and become disciples. And you're going to have some moments. You're going to have some bumps on your life's trail. Those are times of testing your faith. We don't grow without some testing. And we need to learn that in the book of James, chapter 1, that will teach us and help us to go through those times of temptation, those times of loss, those times of trials, that we can come out on the other side victorious. Does that mean you don't have a few scars? No. People have a tendency to hurt people. Unfortunately, Christians can do the same thing. But we also need to learn how to love when love don't come back. So we begin to be discipled by God's word, through God's people, through the Holy Spirit Himself. And we begin to grow. We begin to grow in the walk that God's called us to. Even with the bumps and setbacks in life. And then there becomes moments where we get special nudges. We get special things that God is speaking, the Holy Spirit. We begin to know something. As we grow in Christ, we begin to hear something that and become more familiar with it. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit. As we begin to live our life and we put in, they're not months anymore. They're not just a couple of years. We begin to put in some years as being a Christian. We begin to understand and hear and know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as we hear that, sometimes there come some big things in there. But God begins to ask more from you. Let me ask you a personal question. Does He have a right to do that? You see, sometimes we say, I'm not doing that. That's what I did when God called me to preach His word. I'm not doing that. Well, what I begin to understand is this. God, from the day one, God has invested in me. Not from my life. From day one. When He created Adam. He was invested in humans, mankind. He saw their sin. And the Bible says that He just loved the world so much. And we see that Jesus came down and gave His life for us, for the sins that we had, that we might be forgiven of those sins. And that through Him I could be a new creation. That I get this one thing that you just can't get without a relationship with Christ. You get a fresh start. But actually it's so much more than that. Because you really can't fathom all that God has for me. But as I grow, I begin to understand that as you mature as a Christian, there becomes some other things that come into play. Wow, I didn't. It's not always the devil that makes some things hard in my life. I've come to realize as a mature Christian, that as a maturing Christian, that sometimes it is God's discipline in my life. Which means I got out of step with God and keep stepping out of step, and He puts the spiritual whooping on you a little bit. And it overflows into your fleshly life. Now we can understand it's not always the devil. Sometimes God has to discipline. But thank God for the scripture that says God disciplines those whom He loves. So He does it because He loves us. We're no longer babies in Christ. But we're maturing. And when we begin to mature, then He calls us into a place and begins to set forth many of us into ministry work. And let me tell you, if you're involved in ministry work, I want to tell you, you still have not arrived. I've not arrived. We'll not arrive until we get on the other side of this place. God is always doing a work. But we move into a place called, it's like an ambassador, where God begins to work through you. Doesn't make you perfect, but He begins to work through you. And as He works through you, He expects obedience and service. He expects you to take the hits without complaining all the time. He expects you to love when those who can't and won't love you back. He expects you to be the mature ones in the room, be part of the mature ones in the room. Then when the rest is getting a little shaky, you can come in and not chastise them, but love on them and guide them. And He says this. He says, as you received all this, we need to make sure that we don't receive God's grace in vain. We don't need to be the Christian that's living out there and taking God's grace in vain. That means you know, and you're living against it, and you're just doing it, and you just almost to the point you don't care. Or you just ignore it. I'm saved. Don't really care about anybody else. I got my ticket punched. But once God reconciles you through Christ, it is that God doesn't just take us home, but that now He wants to raise us up and teach us and to use us that we may serve Him. Because salvation, although we've experienced it, many of us have, some of us may need to in this room, but I want to tell you, there are people that need to hear what you heard when you came to Christ. So it's just not about you and I going to heaven and having a relationship with Christ. It's about others that don't know Him yet, that we need to share. We are not to receive God's grace in vain. Because here it was, He says, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation. Let me tell you, God is over your shoulder. He's in front of you, around you. That's what He is. That's what He does. But He also says, for those who don't know Christ, today is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time, right now. Your way's not working. It never will work. You can do any kind of plan you want. It will not work. You cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Everything that you've done as a lost person, everything you've done will come before God without forgiveness. It is only forgiven through Christ. Did not Christ meet us on our dark road of lostness? Didn't He? Didn't He do that? He took you as you are, where you were, with the messy junk that you had. And you received Him, He forgave you, and then you believed. And you had that moment, and then your sins were washed away, and you felt a clean and a cleansing. And He took you in His arms, and He adopted you as a child, and brought you into the family of God. Not because you're awesome, but because of His love. Not because you are beautiful, but because He's beautiful. He took you with all your imperfections. And this is what He said. This is the way it works. Everybody else in the family has to see the new one coming in, and they need to learn to love this new child of God just like everybody else has been loved through the process. And we do all those things we talked about baptism and communion and those things. But we are a new creation. And we need to live like one. I don't want my old self ever to come back. Ever. 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 That's done. That's what He did. That guy is not here. That guy is not here. That's how powerful God just redid the whole thing and created a new person. Wow. And then to say that God's going to use you and to speak through you. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 16. He says, then Jesus said to His disciples, they've been walking with Him a little bit. They've been seeing some miracles, but this is what He says. If anyone wants to come with Me, he must deny himself. Because isn't that what the lost person does? It's all about Me. You see, when you come to Christ, you're changing in your own leaders in yourself. You had this old, your old trinity in yourself. You see, you had Me, myself, and I. That's where your power came. It's Me, myself, and I. All about Me, myself, and I. But when you come to Christ, it begins, you deny yourself. It's no longer you anymore. It's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it like this. For you that are believers, why are you living the way you're living? If you're living in sin, why you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again? Why do you keep doing it when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Holy Spirit is inside of you. God is your Father. Why do you keep doing it? You're taking and using what you've got and living in vain, thinking you're going to fix it, and you cannot fix it without repentance. You cannot fix a problem with God without repentance. There is no, you can't dance around it. You can't work around it. You can't work through it. You have to repent. And I've been saved. Many of you have been saved. And we got to pick up that cross. We got to deny ourselves. And we got to take it up. And we got to follow Jesus. And that road is not always the easiest road. But it's the best road. It's the secure road. You may have a bend in it or two where it looks a little shaky, where it gets a little rough, but I'm telling you, you keep following that road. Because that road is one thing that other roads are not. It is straight. It is straight. And it leads exactly where the Word tells us. It leads to God. But as you get closer to God, He will reveal those things. And those things in your life, that's all that junk, will come up. And God wants to deal with it. That's why people stand at a crossroads and don't go. They know where to go. The Christian knows where to go. But they refuse to go because they say, you know, they draw closer to God. Their sin starts coming out and they don't want to deal with it. Or they're enjoying it too much and they don't want to do it because they're enjoying it too much. I'm telling you, when God's discipline comes down, that hammer comes down. And I'm telling you, you're going to feel some pain. Now, I want to tell you, it's not the wrath of God, praise God. It's just some discipline. It's going to hurt for a bit. But let me tell you, you can be in timeout for a long time. You tell little ones you're in timeout, they can't handle that. Sometimes timeout is 5 minutes. But we love our children so much, we make it 2 minutes. Something about the discipline of God. God knows how long we need. And if it's a while, it's going to be a while. And God will let you go through some rough stuff. He'll let you get to the place where he knows that's not your lowest spot, where we think it is. And let me just remind you, I'm going to take a step to the side. Sometimes we see a believer messing up. Don't you dare say, God, won't you just put them through the hammer and put them through the headlock and you just do whatever you got to do to return them back to you. And you just put your foot on their head and you do it until they return back to God. Let me tell you something. Don't pray punishment on your brothers and sisters. Pray for God's mercy. Pray for God's love on them. Pray for them. Be careful how you judge even your own brothers and sisters at times, for that will fall back on yourself. We are too hard on our brothers and sisters. And when we do go to correct, we need to do it in a biblical way. We need to be cautious how we do that. You want to step in when God's disciplining one of his children? You want to step inside? Let me tell you something. You better make sure you know what you're doing. You need to make sure you know what you're doing. You see, there's some scriptures that tells us the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, is the fear of the Lord. I don't have to fear God that he's going to destroy me. No, no, no. I fear the whooping. He's God. He's created all things. There's a fear that is a holy fear. America don't have that. The American church, I believe, we struggle with it. I believe that there are others, a lot of us in America, Christian, we don't have that spirit. We don't have that understanding, knowing to fear the Lord. It's not that I fear God for his wrath. I don't like whooping. I don't like his whoopings. But also don't like this. I've been blessed a lot in my life. How about you? My fear is that God just might take his blessed hand off me. That's what I fear. The blessings that I've got come in my life have come from God. And I fear, I don't want him to take that blessing off of me. So I'm saved, and you're saved, and we're living a life. We're trying to do what we're supposed to do. But he says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it. I was saved at the age of 12, but I didn't give my heart to Jesus until I was 30, about 30. Now, there is a difference. I had salvation at 12. Oh, I had it. But I didn't give him my heart until I was, I think, 30. And when I did it that day, I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want, whatever you want. I know I got a plan for my life, but this is the thing. I've been doing everything I wanted to do. Every time I get to the pivotal point, to the highest mountain peak, I go, wow, that was awesome. What's next? Never had a peace. And I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but you got to, you know. Anyway, I had some more stuff I wanted to say in there. And then he called me to preach, and I cussed at God. I cursed at God. That's what I did. I actually swore it to God. Let me tell you two things about that. One, you're hearing that I swore at God, right? But how many of you heard that I heard from God? See, you're looking at that I cursed at God, but how did I know that was? I knew his voice. And that should have been better. But I was coming to him. I didn't like what he called me to do. And even after he called me that, and I went down the road, and then when I left the church and I was going to go to do my own thing, he said, I want you, you're going back to Huntington. You're going to start a church. I don't want to do that either. I'm not going back there. How did I have that conversation? Is it that I was getting it? No, I knew his voice. And some of you know his voice. Let me tell you, the more you fight it, the more hardship you're going to have in your walk with him. Because one thing about God is, if there's something in the center, what I've learned about my relationship with God and communicating with God, Small talk don't work when there's elephants in the room. If God's going to talk about something, this Holy Spirit moves, we're not talking about anything else. We'll talk about that once we get through to this. You can't dance around a conversation with God. You can't smooth talk. You can't smooth talk him. You can't try to con your way around something. Remember, he is Abba. He is our Father. He is our eternal Dad. He's our Creator. So, this whole process of this, what we're talking about is that it's the process of reconciliation. Have you been reconciled to God through Christ? I pray that you have. If not, today is a day of salvation for you. But if you've been reconciled to God and you're not living right, I want to tell you, you need to stop and you need to get right with Him, whatever that is. Whatever that is. Let me tell you, it's not that God is stopping blessing you. It's not that the world has stopped blessing you. It's you push God's hand back from blessing you. You're the one that keeps pushing Him back. God wants to bless His children. Aren't we His children? He wants to bless us. Sometimes there's a message. I believe all Scripture is God-breathed. I believe all Scripture is true, the infallible Word of God. I really do. I believe men try to preach, and then we do it to the best of our ability, but we can't even do that right. The Holy Spirit has to flow through. If it's going to any internal weight, it's got to go by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we as believers will hear a message and we'll hear 10 or 20. We can hear 10 or 20 months. We can be in 5 or 6 years. But I'm just praying that if this is something there in your life, I'm telling you, it can make a pivotal change in your life. If you understand what these scriptures are saying to you, what we've talked about, you don't have to live in misery as a believer. You need to get right with Christ. Quit dancing. Quit conning yourself. You can't fix it when you think you're going to fix it. You can't fix it. I'll fix it when I'm 50. You don't even have a promise that you're going to make it to 50. Fix it today. If it's salvation, receive, be reconciled to God today. If you're a believer in Christ and you know and you've been far away, you know He's there. And you know what? I don't have to tell you. Already know. How do you know? Because you know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do as He commands you to do. Father, as we draw to the end of the preaching, there is none that can preach like You. There's none that can call like You. Lord, I pray for this part in our service, what we make a moment, whatever we need to do in our lives. I pray, Lord, that this group and each individual will do what You're speaking them to do, whether it's salvation, whether it's repenting, whether it's accepting, whatever it may be. May Your will be done in this group of people today. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand with that.